Hey everyone, yours truly, Angie McDonald, Wounded to Wonderful. I am so happy that I am reconnecting with you. You missed me last week? I missed you all. But of course I was on assignment and I didn't want to over inundate any of you with, you know, a lot of content from last week. So I brought the content that I did last week for this week's podcast. So if you missed me last week, yes, I was on assignment. And I thought at the last minute, like, you know what? I'll be presenting a workshop around the same time that you'll be seeing or hearing my podcast. So why not just give it a break, let you all enjoy other mediums, and then come back to you with what I shared last week at the Family Wellness Faith in Action retreat that was now made virtual. I was honored to, you know, be one of the co-facilitators there, where we covered all aspects of our humanity, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And of course, I dealt with the emotional aspects of grief, loss, anxieties, and touching the topic mostly on family synergy and creating harmony during this time of uncertainty, and definitely learning how to grieve the loss of what was and learning to embrace the new changes that are coming for us going forward. So I hope you enjoy it. Just letting you know, it was presented simultaneously through Zoom and Facebook Live, so you will hear some of the data glitches from transmission, but I can assure you everything is understandable and it's not too bad, so you'll be able to decipher what I'm saying and be able to receive what was being shared. So I hope this talk inspires you, encourages you, and empowers you and your family to really stand firm in these uncertain times, to learn to embrace the new normal, and to pivot into the transition of, you know, new greater things, and just enjoy each other and continue to love each other intently and fully. If you have any questions or you want to reach me, you know how to get to me. Angie McDonald at on Instagram, I am Angie McDonald. LinkedIn, Angie McDonald. Wounded to Wonderful Coaching on Instagram as well. And of course, you can email me at angie@woundedtowonderful.com. So listen in, family synergy and healing. Thanks, guys.
All right, so today's talk is called Healing and Family Synergy. So initially I had a talk about, you know, resilience capabilities and things like that, but of course I wanted to make it inclusive of the family, absolutely relevant to the time that we're in, apparently dealing with this pandemic and the changes and the new normals that we are now experiencing. And again, like I said, take your notes, be ready to share and ask your questions towards the end. But definitely I want us to have insightful, positive, and realistic approaches to what we're experiencing here and now. No matter how saved we are, no matter how in touch we are, no matter how much we visit the throne room, that Adam side of us, that human aspect of us will always come and poke a jab at our humanity and our minds and our the way we think and the things that we experience. So we can heal, grow, discover, and survive this pandemic together. So enough about me, let's begin. All right, so just about a little bit about me. Prophet already touched that, but you know, I want you to know that what I'm speaking from is not only from the gift of being able to speak, but from experiences. I always tell folks that I am licensed in life, and it has taught me so much, and God has taught me so much through the experiences. So just a brief situation of who I am: grief coach, certified grief and bereavement counselor as of recently, now supporting funeral homes, crematoriums, and things like that, assisting these families through these unusual times. I'm also an NLP practitioner, which means, you know, just positive mindset and manifestation of who we are and who God intends us to be. Prophet already spoke about that in my introduction, and I'm so grateful and humbled for him, such a man of God I admire, to introduce me in such a humbling way. Thank God for that. All right, so we're going to get started with healing and family synergy, and I want us to talk about, you know, the new normal, grieving the change. And grief is a process not only in losing a loved one, but losing a way of life, losing what we know as our norm, or a sudden shift or change from what we've experienced on a day-to-day, week-by-week basis. And now we've been hearing the term the new normal. we experienced, the pandemic has created a sense of panic, uncertainty, different feelings. And especially for the kingdom of God, these are key notes that we need to pay attention to, key words and key experiences that we really need to tap into in grieving the change, learning how to process what was before, understanding and coming to terms and acknowledging what is happening now, and embracing for what will come as the new normal. Okay, so these are the feelings of a lot of us, saved or unsaved, you know, day in and day out, professional, stay-at-home mom, layman, worker, minister, whatever the case may be. As long as we're human, as long as we're walking in this robe of flesh, we're going to experience these feelings, but we have to learn how to identify them, face them, and overcome them. So we're all experiencing drastic changes right now. The shelter in place has caused situations that we are not, you know, it's messing with a lot of folks. We have restricted gatherings. I love the church. I love my gatherings. And that really has taught me to really enjoy being in the presence of God's people. For those of us who attend a ministry and assembly, I know we all raise our hands and say, I miss church, right? I miss, you know, enjoying times with the people that I love, my family. The curfews are messing with us. You know, we have to, you know, jumble everything that we have to do in a short amount of time. And of course, for our children, there's e-learning, and then there's remote work situations for those who are now having to work from home. And then the most common reactions experienced, anxieties. Some people are short-fused. We're now exhibiting new levels of frustrations. Some of us are listless. We're experiencing listlessness, like, what do I do next? We're, you know, what's next for me? What, I'm bored. You know, boredom is a big thing. So these are the things that we can say most of us have experienced in any given time during this change. And it can create, you know, a whole lot of, you know, psychological challenges, physical and physiological challenges, but especially emotional changes, fears, anxieties, and things like that. But here's the thing. How has this pandemic affected your family? We don't have to answer right now, but just think about it. Has it affected you? Has it made a change to who you see every day, as the ones you love, the one you're married to, the one you raise? And as a result of this pandemic, my clientele has skyrocketed, and these are some normal, the experiences that I've been getting and the reactions that I've been getting are such as this, you know. People are on edge. Mothers are like losing their minds. Fathers are like, who are these people, right? So my clients had eye-opening and mixed responses to what has happened to them. They're walking around the house wondering, who are these people? Yes, I'm married to you. Yes, I may have given birth to you. Yes, you may live with me, but we're seeing each other a lot more often. Who are you? I'm a mom of three girls, three amazing girls, but I have said this. My children are driving me crazy. Because I'm used to seeing them 2/3 of the day or half of the day, and now it's all day, every day, right? So this change has really brought space to face to a lot of things. I ask these questions, moms, dads, when are these teachers coming to get their kids? Right, so as a parent, I really now have a newfound respect for teachers, what they put up with. If anyone in here is a teacher, much love. God bless you. I respect you. I loved my kids' teachers before, but now I have a newfound regard for them. And to those who are married or with your significant other, I love you, but I need a break. Some of us might say it a lot less nicer, like get out of my face, go over there. There's the guest room. There's the couch. These are experiences, these are real life experiences that are happening with us. And it's a sign of grief. And like I said, grief can be not only losing a physical representation of our loved one, but it can be a way of life, like I said. And these are some of the reactions, the knee-jerk reactions that can happen. And when we look at that, what do we say? Some of us feel anxious, nervous, and trapped. So let's be realistic. Yes, we love God. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're leaning on the everlasting arm. But if the word of God didn't have some of these words in there, it would have been remiss of the Holy Spirit to not acknowledge that we experience these things when the word says be anxious for nothing. He knows that there will be times that we will have that little onset of anxiety. We will at times have, feeling nervous or feeling trapped. And I've experienced these with my clients, and unfortunately, those who have not had the opportunity to reach out or be reached out to have made drastic decisions that affected them and their families. We've heard of different things happening, families increase in domestic violence, an increase in suicides, increase of erratic behaviors. So these are the things that we have to ask ourselves, how have we noticed the effects and changes to our families? And it's time to address those. All right, so with time comes discovery, all right? As we're discovering who these people are we're living with, who our children are on a more intimate and intense level, it's time to come to face with it, come to terms with it. Myself, I'm very transparent in learning the lessons that this time has taught me for the McDonald household. I found out things about my spouse that I never noticed before. How many of us can attest to that? That there are new habits and ways that we probably gave a blind eye to, but we found out about what they're feeling, what triggers them even more, what makes them happy, what makes them laugh. We can spend the time to be even more observant, the ones that we love, right? I need to constantly move this around, right? My children, I realized that my children had a lot on their mind, right? So this pandemic is forcing us and even pushing us into a place of engagement, of finding out and learning to discover are the ones that we love so dearly. We love them, but do we know them? And do we know them on a level where we can be intentional and responsive and responsible to what they're feeling, what they're experiencing? So with time comes these types of discovery. I've been missing out on so much. How many of us realize how much we're missing out on? From working 10 to 12 hours a day, constantly on the road for ministry, things like that. We're missing out on ideal conversations, facing ideal situations that may have caused us to turn a blind eye because we were so busy in and outdoors, in and out on, up and down in the plains or the byways. We realize that we've been missing out on so much. So we talked about in the prior slides about how this situation, this pandemic, can cause all the negative feelings, all the heebie-jeebies, we would call it, all the anxieties, the nervousness, the trapped feelings. But now it's time to flip that, pivot that, and use it to understand what we've been missing out on and enjoy that, right? So clients have said, this pandemic has afforded me the time to reconnect, relearn, and explore my spouse, children, and family. So I encourage you, if you have not gotten that revelation of what this pandemic could mean and could be such a blessing in disguise, it's a time to reconnect, relearn, and explore your family, the beautiful dynamic that makes up who you are and who you love and who you spend such time, energy, and commitment to. So can you relate? Can we all relate to what we can get from this? So, I'm always hit the rebuttals. No matter how much times I present the positivity of what this can bring, I always get that similar rebuttal, but Angie, I see them every single day. How can I balance that? How? Well, thankfully some states and restrictions are starting to lift. But now it's time to really embrace this new normal. Yes, we have to grieve the things that were and the movements and the ways that were, but now it's really time to embrace this new day. So just face it. My first blunt force idea would be to face it, right? We have to. So here are some of the few things I want us to do. Connect, have the necessary conversations. Yes, even the difficult ones. Set aside a time. Now we have a whole lot of time, but still we can structure it. Structure a time to have a family talk, to have a spousal talk, to have a ministry talk. If you're business partners with your spouse, have those conversations and be intentional about it. Go in ready to be receptive, to relate, and also to share with pure intentions. I encourage us to engage, inquire, and share. Be intentional with the time, the whole experience of the expanded time that we have now. Engage. Inquire. How are you? The who, what, when, why, where, without sounding intrusive, but sounding interested. We don't want to sound intrusive, but we want to sound interested. And share. Be free to share what's on your mind. With this newfound time, like I said earlier, people have said that they've found out new things about their spouses, their loved ones, their children, the family that they share their home with. So with that should come an understanding of knowing how to share freely without any inhibitions or feeling judged or feeling pressured, that they've found out new things about their spouses, their loved ones, their children, the family that they share their home with. So with that should come an understanding of knowing how to share freely without any inhibitions or feeling judged or feeling pressured to butter it up, sugar it down, whatever, but just to be authentically you amongst those who you love. Incorporate balance. This newfound time will cause us to probably let the hours and the days flow right into each other. I've seen posts where there's no longer days of the week. Everything is called day. It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because it just seemed like one long week, one long day. The new days of the week is just called day. Let's bring back balance. Let's incorporate balance into this new normal. Understand that there's a schedule. With my favorite little journal is my calendar in the beginning. And my notes are falling out. But in the calendar, I have notes and color-coded situations that my family and I could do. Conversations that we can do, set up family night, movie night in the home. Order a 3D, surround sound system from Amazon, hook it up to your TV, have movie night, pop some popcorn. Be intentional with the time. We've set up a little dance party in our house with the kids to get the blood pumping and get them moving. Naomi's the best one. She enjoys that the most. So find time to incorporate balance in this new time. Break the ice, break the anxieties, the nervousness, those feelings that are bound to attack even the most saved of us. Lighten the mood. Plan fun outdoor activities like I just said. And be intentional. Schedule if you must. So like I said, schedule. Create balance. Create a synergy. Create a flow for your home. Sometimes now it's going to require your new flow. For those of us who have families before, we had our system, 7 o'clock, get the kids up, get them out to school. Mom comes back home, does shopping, goes to the gym, whatever the case may be. Dad's at work. That's not really the case right now for most of us still. Still create a new level of synergy and balance for the home to take away the level of anxieties, to remove the nervousness, to calm and quell any questions of, oh my God, what am I going to do? The listlessness. Right? So that's the best way to help get rid of that. All right? So the transition. Pivot to embrace change. So as a transitional coach, I have learned to soften the blow of transition. And I've had to only learn that through trial and error, through my own transitions of difficulty, of financial disparity, public assistance, things like that. I've had to learn to embrace change, pivot to embrace change, but pivoting doesn't mean staying there. It's just angling yourself for the current situation. Because we say these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us, right? So with change comes the embrace, but at the same time, we're not pivoting to stay there. And if you ever look at a pivot, the way that it's angled, it has a circular joint. So that when it's time to switch moods or to switch angles, it's time to do so with grace and with ease. And I always say that whatever we experience, it sounds so cliche, I get that, that whatever comes our way is not to kill us, it's to make us stronger. Whatever didn't destroy us is to make us stronger. And that is so true in every sense of the word. someone is to learn to embrace this transition, we have to learn to embrace change. So I want us to affirm that you are capable of leading your family in spite of change. For our men, our fathers, and even women who are head of household, affirm that you are capable of leading your family in spite of change. This is an ideal way to learn to pivot to embrace the change. So with those things as the leader, at times we have to know when to sit down and listen or stand up to speak. And at this time, for those of us who are leaders or head of household, now it's time to sit and receive what God wants you to do in this next season. And with that understanding and with that level of confidence that he has in you to lead your family, it's the ability to acknowledge your worth in his word. Acknowledge your worth in his ability and his thoughts towards you, for you to prosper, even as your soul prospers. So with that, remind yourself that you are capable of leading your family in spite of change. And with this change, you embrace the growth that will continue to take place as former customs are adjusted. So be mindful. The word of God says to occupy until I come. With occupying means being present in mind, present in understanding and information of what current world is, at the same time maintaining the standard, at the same time living soberly and righteously in this current world, right? Sounds like a lot to do, but it's learning to embrace the levels of leadership of God being at the helm. And even with all this, what seems as chaos, God is still in control. So we have to learn to embrace the growth that will continue to take place as former customs are adjusted. So we understand not everything will go back to the way it was. It will never, for many things. But again, pivot to embrace the changes that are taking place. Leaders, fathers, ministry leaders, heads of households, reassure your family and children, even if you're learning yourself. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He said that for a reason, because there was a lot for him to still learn. But what kept him going was his pivot to embrace the change of him going from Saul to Paul, and then becoming one of the most instrumental leaders in the gospel. So we read the word, we digest the word. It's no more milk, it's now meat, and it's now life. And it's now the two-edged sword that is designed to cut down asunder anything that is designed to hinder us from our absolute growth, humanly possible, and of course, as spiritually possible. So as you are going, and as you are growing, and as you are discovering, and as you are engaging and being intentional, you're reassuring your family and children, even if you are learning yourself. And that is no failure. No signs of failure, no signs of being less than. It's a sign of true strength and true leadership. Being able to reassure your family and yourself as you grow. All right, so with that, if you do these things with pure intentions and with the acknowledgement that, yes, I am still human, but I've been granted and trusted to lead, your children or mentees will maintain trust as long as you're transparent. As simple as it is, they will maintain their trust in you as a leadership, as the leadership of whatever ministry, home, business, partnership, professional partnership. They will learn to maintain trust as long as you're transparent. If you show yourself as unsure and you have a mentality or an attitude of do as I say, not as I do, that is the quickest way to lose trust. Because you're self-representing in a way that you're not relatable. You're not human. You don't experience the difficulties that the rest of us do. Again, I relate to Paul as such a prolific and influential leader because he was transparent. He was realistic as he was encouraging the body of Christ and admonishing us. He reminded us of his shortcomings, of his fears, of his thorns in his flesh. And he was able to share that, but still maintain his aspect of leadership that God trusted him to perform to the churches. Learn how to speak life. Speak it intentionally. Another verse we say 100 times a day, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's time to actually manifest that and put it to practical use. Speaking life with intentions, with reassurance, with an affirmation, and with an embracing in spite of change. So let us learn to speak life to those around us, especially to our children who are experiencing separation anxiety from their day-to-day norms of school, friends, their activities. I know my second daughter, Hannah, experienced that the most, because she really threw herself into her programs, and she's a part of a technology school. She threw herself into her programs, the things that she was working on, her projects and things like that, and to be suddenly pulled back from that, it created a sense of anxiety, of separation. So learn how to speak life and create an intentional atmosphere of growth, of comfort, and of understanding. Yes, I understand you're going through a hard time. I understand all of us are feeling that way. Even me as mommy, speak to your children and speak to the ones that you're guardians over. I experienced that too. But guess what? We're here together. We're here to learn how to get through this new phase of life. And we're going to do it. Reaffirm them as you reassure yourself. All right. And we can activate Philippians 4 verse 13 into the journey. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I say that all the time. It sounds so good to say. But now it's time to activate it. And every aspect of the word of God that says that we can, that we are more than, that we are capable of. Okay? Everyone doing all right? I know I can't hear you, but just give me a nod or a wave. Is everyone okay? We're flowing. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So I'm wrapping up because I know we said we had, we're following timely orders, but I wanted us to set aside some time for questions.